morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. We are going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I am truly, and I mean this sincerely, honored and privileged to have with me today someone I have the utmost respect for. And I, you know, I got 50 plus years in the business of criminal justice, so I guess I'm a pretty good judge of character in that respect. And his name is Timothy Shugrue. He is the district attorney of Berkshire County. And I will tell you, I've done my research for this show. And just over the month of May, I'm going to read you what this man's office has done. So please stay tuned. And the district attorney, there's a lot going on. You need to be aware. You know, and he will share with you. He and his team are doing their darndest to stay ahead of the curve. And when you hear what he's done this month, you'll understand. So, good morning, District Attorney Shugrue.
Good morning, Bill. How are we doing this morning? It's a beautiful day in the Berkshires today.
It is. And I, for an old fat ball guy, I'm proud to be here. That's all I'm going to say.
It's always nice to see you.
It's always good. You and the missus are we see each other at a lot of events, you and I.
We certainly do. I'm out and about a lot now. We had the West Side Legends event a couple of weeks ago, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that we take drug money, forfeited funds, and we use that to donate to those type of events. And it was a great day. Weather wasn't as cooperative as we wanted to be, but there was sunshine during part of it. Kids were kayaking on the Housatonic, and there was Wanda Houston played.
Yeah.
Community event, free ice cream for everybody, and there was barbecue there. It was a nice day to see our community out on Dewey Avenue on the west side of Pittsfield, and the amount of people that turned out and the love and support that they got. I'm happy to be part and proud of being.
Yes.
That was a big thing. So we're out and about everywhere now. There's lots going on. We have First Friday. We'll have our table out front of the office this coming Friday. We've got Pride on Saturday of the festival. We'll be down there.
Yep.
And I'm up at the Coffees in Adams and in North Adams this week. So we're out and about and around. I think it's important for the DA to be out and talking to the community about what are we doing and what's going on within our office. Because I put in about 70 hours a week, and this extra work I find the most rewarding.
I thought it was nice that your wife keeps a picture of you on her desk so she doesn't forget what you look like.
Yeah, I know. I have to do the same thing the way we're working these days. You know,
I know.
She's very busy and I'm very busy, but you know, we do make sure. One of the most important things, as you know, with Roseanne, we spend a lot of times with our significant others who make our lives easier and make the reason we get up every morning is those people.
I will honestly say this before we get back to professional stuff. I would have never accomplished what I have accomplished in life without the support of the Polish princess.
It's 100% the same thing. I get the Greek one. So.
I saw you there. I love that.
Yeah.
I have to just go over. I on May the 27th, you arraigned 1.4 kilos of drugs and guns. May the 23rd, on Friday, May the 20th, Christopher King was found guilty of three charges of domestic violence and sexual assault. On May 18th, Timothy Formel sentenced for rape, 4 to 5 years in the state prison. I have three pages of this, listeners and viewers, just for May. Now, they're not nice. No one goes to Superior Court for being nice. Well, except Debbie Caprils, who worked there for a long time and retired. But I mean that seriously. These charges, and the DA will tell you, he and his whole team have law enforcement throughout the county and the state police. They're busting their butts to make us safe and all that. But you have to remember, we're no different than any other community.
No, we're not. People have to realize that. You know, we're about 128,000 per capita for our county, from Vermont to Connecticut. So we may not be the biggest, county, but yeah, geographically we're huge. But, you know, we also have an urban center, two of them in North Adams and in Pittsfield. And we have the same problems that Springfield does, that Worcester does, that everybody else does. It's just, luckily for us, it's on a smaller scale. But it's still here, and still as per capita, it's about the same amount of crime that you would have in the other areas. But the good news is that we do a lot of preventive work, and we also have the, because we are a small county, we can identify these types of cases that are coming in and still make our bucolic Berkshires a safe place to be at, because it is because of the work that our men and women are doing on the streets with law enforcement every single day, and the preventive work that our community partners are doing throughout this entire county, from Sheffield to Clarksburg. There's so many nonprofits and other agencies that work well with us to help us do preventive work in order to make sure that we keep our community safe, and that we still have civility and respect for each other, and that we treat our neighbors with appropriate kindness. And I think that that's what I'm so proud about Berkshire County. The citizens of this county really step to the plate, and
Yes,
they're
they have.
wonderful individuals. But our job is to make sure that when the criminal elements do come into here, and these are not small cases, these are big cases. Like you said,
Big case,
zero and a half is a lot of drugs. It's a lot of money. You're talking about 30 grand worth of drugs that that we confiscated. But most important in that case too, two high capacity firearms that were taken off the street, $20,000 in cash, and there's still other bank accounts that we're still seeking out. And on top of that, this is a person who has been convicted three times before for drug trafficking. So this is what we call armed career criminal fourth offense, looking at a 30-year sentence, minimum mandatory 15 plus another minimum mandatory 10 on the weight of the drugs being over 200 grams. So you're looking at an individual looking at somewhere in the vicinity of 30 years in state prison. That four time. This is and luckily our law enforcement agencies were able to pick up on that. This is a lot of drugs. A kilo and a half of cocaine is a lot of drugs that we have now taken off the streets before it got
Before
to the
that
addicts, before someone OD'd on this, before it was cut with fentanyl, before it was it was distributed to our people that are in need, or people that are in the throes of addiction. And we're trying to deal with that at the same time too. We try to help out people that are on the addiction process, and try to help them get out of there, help them get through the process. And I give people deals and a half if they can, if they're an addict and they have low level crimes. We try to get them through the system, get them clean, get them off drugs, because it's two pronged. You stop the need for drug dealers coming in here by getting people off drugs. That's one part of it. Second part of it is to eliminate the supply, and we are certainly eliminating the supply. In the 30 months I've been in office now, 2.5 years, we have taken a lot of drugs off the street, and we have taken
I sure
a
have.
lot of guns off the street. There's got to be over 200 guns that have come off the street in the 2.5 years. That's a lot. And when I ran in 2022, I think there were 18 shootings by the time the election came around, and maybe 22 by the end of the year. Those numbers have dwindled dramatically because of the efforts of us getting these guns off the streets. But it's the men and women of the police departments through the entire county, but specifically Springfield, I mean Pittsfield and North Adams, that are going, these guys are coming up from Springfield and Holyoke and from the Bronx, that are identifying them and getting them. Because of the diligent efforts of these law enforcement agencies, they're working real hard. And you have to realize a limited amount of manpower and women power and limited amount of resources, but they're doing it, and it's becoming safer and safer. So that was a very significant drug bust, a kilo and a half, two guns, with a person that was convicted three prior times. So that's very serious. And some of the others, we had two very serious rape trials that all
Yes, you
took
did.
over a week apiece. Both were found guilty. We asked for 8 to 10 years in prison on each of them. One of them was 4 to 5, and the other one he gave on and after house time. But our office doesn't tolerate that. We asked for 8 to 10 years on each of those particular cases, because I think they were both warranted. These poor women had the courage and the bravery to come into the
That's
courtroom,
it. Yes.
face their accuser, and testify, and get to these cases. Two different prosecutors, each one, these rape cases that are very, very difficult to win, because people always argue consent. These were tough cases, but my office prevailed, as they have. We have a tremendously qualified and very educated Superior Court staff that is handling these cases. We had that big murder trial and earlier in the year with I'm actually giving awards to five police officers from the city of Pittsfield
Cool.
on this Thursday, which you're welcome to at 1 o'clock. I'm giving them commendations for the excellent work they did in the Lance Burke trial, because those five individuals, we wouldn't have gotten that conviction. By the way, that murder trial was convicted solely based upon Google evidence following this vehicle from the state, from the city of New York City, all the way to the Berkshires, and a hit that was done on somebody, and then all the way back, we were able to trace that individual back, convict him, and try that case, which took
Yeah.
about 3 months. But we are busy in the courtroom every single day. We have tried so many murders, we tried so many rape cases. We're supposed to go every other month. We have a child abuse case going right now. This is our off month. That trial's been going on for a week right now, and it's going to the jury today. So
Wow.
we are not sitting back. We are working our tails off, as you said. But on top of that, we're also doing the investigations. And in the meantime, we're doing the preventive work, and we're in the schools. We're talking to the kids.
Wow.
And we'll talk a little bit later about the elder fraud initiatives that we've done. I had the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York.
Yeah, I have that fraud workshop featured. You don't think I do my homework? I got it
I
right.
know you do.
Not as dumb as I look. I couldn't be and still survive. But going back, and I want to bring this out too, because I don't know. I'm sure I'll get hate mail, but I get it anyhow. We really, parents and grandparents, we have to become more attuned to the internet
Oh,
and
yeah.
cell phones, and because our district attorney and his staff whacked a 10 individual, well, 13 now, right?
13 now, yep.
13 now, individuals charged with child predators. They're child pre I can't think really of criminals, rapists, and child predators, child traffickers. They're the lowest of the low. They're not robbing from an addiction. They're just greedy, awful people. That's my opinion. Oh, and by the way, in case you forgot, the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way, no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, Mayor Marchetti and the City Council, Peter White, and Mayor Marchetti in the Mayor's Office, Peter White in the City Council, and or the guy who's trying to ride his bicycle on the street and avoiding the bike lane because there's people in it. So, I have to applaud you for this.
Yeah, it's just been a lot of
What a hit.
it was a lot of effort. We received a grant on this some time ago, a human trafficking grant that we're going to put into use. So it takes months and months to get these investigations established and started, and a lot of preparation, a lot of work. Probably about, I'd say, 15 to 20 police officers and state troopers that were involved in this situation. We had a room set up down in South County where we advertised. To try to just get regular Johns going for prostitution,
Right.
human trafficking. As it turned out, they all wanted children between the ages of 10 and 16. And so we had a police officer, a couple of police officers, some female, some male, posing as individuals online. And as soon as we put the net out there, within a couple hours, we're getting hit and dings with people wanting to come to the Berkshires. Or are in the Berkshires, one a police officer from Auburn, another retired police officer from the Berkshires, but and other individuals are coming into our county thinking they're gonna come take our children and molest and abuse our children. They're coming with alcohol, they come with drugs in some situations, they're coming for sexual purposes, and the graphic stuff that they're asking they want these children to do. They come here thinking they're meeting a child. A young person, like 13, 14, and they end up meeting a 6'5" state trooper that put them under arrest.
Yeah.
So,
Right.
surprise, exactly. So our kids weren't put at risk, but the
Oh,
fact
good.
of the matter, we could just put that out there during, it was in April, Child Abuse Prevention Month. And I went on April 1st, I was at the kids' place, and I was talking about human trafficking and about the internet safety and what we're doing in the schools, how much money I put into the schools, and all the programming we're offering for teachers and for parents and for kids about internet safety. I said all that. And then, boy, within a week, I had 10 under arrest.
And I have to tell you, and some of it is parental oversight.
It's important.
The DA and I have talked about this in the past. I mean, I dealt with violent youthful offenders, spent hours with them, and really, when I go to the cemetery, which I try to do once, twice a month, I thank my mother and father for raising me the way they did, because so many of these kiddos, their parents, some of them couldn't help it. They're working three jobs just to make a living.
Right.
You know, but these phones, these things here have gotten to be a nightmare. And the DA, this is my opinion. There's a lot of smarter people than me are saying that kids shouldn't have phones before this age. That's you make that decision, Mr. Parent and Mrs. Parent. But here's the thing, watch over it.
Yeah, the cell phones can be a very valuable thing for educators and for kids, and tablets they certainly are and whatnot, and certainly they're here to stay, and we know kids are going to have them. But if we're going to have that, we just ask a couple things. I ask parents to be diligent, even if you don't have to check on their phones. Speak to your kids every night, 15, 20 minutes. How was your day? Tell me what happened. If you don't do it at the dinner table, do it sitting, no TV, no phone. Just I want to know how your day was. And listen to them. If they say something to you that upsets you, that they may have done something, they want to admit they've done something wrong, you don't show them anger. Show them respect and love, and then you deal with the punishment aspect of it as you address it. Just don't snap and quickly react, because kids they want to absorb. They're learning. They're in the process of learning. So we try to teach those techniques of what to do when how to teach your kids to be safe on the phone, how you should track your kids on the phone. There's no reason why you shouldn't. You own the phone. How you should watch what they're doing. As you put the parental controls on the phones and on the tablets. That's true with television as well. So if parents could do more of that, just because there is such a criminal element out there, and it's not just from the Berkshires, it's from nationwide now, it's from worldwide. It's a worldwide web. So you've got dangers out there, both financially and sexually, and things that can really hurt people. So I think it's imperative, and I reinstituted that and put us back in the school system. And now we do trainings throughout the entire county about internet safety, about bullying, and about hate crimes. So we put a lot of time and energy and money into our schools to make sure we're doing preventative work as well. So it's very important. These devices can be, like I said, they're necessary. They're not going away. Kids are going to have them. Parents are going to have them. But we just have to realize that we have to, just because they're there, we have to still monitor and control them like we do anything else. When we were kids, Bill, I mean, we would go outside, but our parents still made sure we were home by a certain time. When those street lights came on, you were home, right? And that's it. And so there were real rules and restrictions we had when we sent our kids out into the world. Now we should have to do the same thing when we're sending our kids onto the world on their phones and their tablets, making sure that we're also given the same protections as we would do if we sent them out onto the streets of the city or into their neighborhoods. So it's important that we do that, because you can see it. I talked about this in April. I talked about Child Abuse Prevention Month. And I still picked up 13 with these great investigators. And I could say Mark Bailey from North Adams started doing these To Catch a Predator cases about a couple of years ago in my administration. We've had my state troopers are now doing it full board as well with North Adams. So and South County is doing it. We have a task force. It's coming from all sorts. So if you're
You're
going to try
right.
to do this, we're going to catch you. And we are catching everybody. And
Well,
that's
the other thing too, Mr. District Attorney, if I may interrupt and say this, you are building a team of all involved. Let me put it that way: all involved, the courts, the police, you, your office, the state police, and in my opinion, it's the way. If you're going to fight and prevent crime, you got to do it as a team. You can't be fractured,
you
because
do. The
you know
sheriff's
what I
office,
know, they'll find the fracture.
yeah. The sheriff's office too. Another
Oh,
good
yeah,
partner
I meant
that
that.
we're working. Yeah, with all the law enforcement, I meet with them, daily. We have conversations daily. There's a lot of stuff going on with each particular department in the county and with the sheriff's office. So we're all very astute and know what's going on. And we're lucky. We've got a law enforcement people care about the community. They want to do that. They've got a pep in their step. They went through 4 years where they really felt like they couldn't get anything accomplished. They're getting things accomplished. We're seeing so much productivity coming from them. I'm also seeing a reduction in the amount of crime that we're seeing.
Yeah.
So to me, it's working. Am I going to eliminate crime? No. But am I going to prosecute those cases if they come in here? Yes. And is the reputation going to be, you don't want to get caught in the Berkshires because we're going to take you seriously and we're going to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law? That's the reputation that this office wants to have. And at the same time, too, we are doing so much community outreach, so much community engagement, and we're helping people get off narcotics and get back. We had that big opioid summit last
Yeah.
fall. We work with the opioid groups all the time. I'll be speaking to Berkshire Health Systems next week as well about what are the trends we see on the streets with what's drugs happening in our community, what can they look for. So we do all that on a regular basis. People don't see everything we do. That's why I enjoy coming on your program to let people know there's a
Yeah.
lot goes on that isn't going to end up in the Berkshire Eagle because they can't cover everything we're doing. But there's a lot that is going on and a lot that we are doing for this community. And I can tell you again, in hearing everything and knowing everything, sometimes it's scary, but it's good to know that we live in a safe community and we're going to keep it safe
Yes.
because of the work that the men and women in law enforcement are doing. The men and women and the mental health professionals and the medical professionals, the work that our professionals are doing in this community are tremendous. And the support we get from the citizens and from just people like volunteer and give so much effort. I make everybody in my office do 4 hours community service, usually summer months, but I make sure that our people are out there so that we can be seen in the community and letting them know we are here to make your community as safe as we possibly can.
I just want to run down just to show you the variety. It's the only reason I'm doing it. The variety of crimes they dealt with in April and May. All right. First, Destiny Culpo Lyncher pleads guilty to two counts of witness intimidation. Yes, that's right, folks. Here in Pittsfield, we have people who do that. Maxwell Hall charged with 18 counts of surveillance, photographing, videotaping, or electronically surveilling a partially indented. The DA can fill you in because that's all it printed over me.
That's Williams College, Williams College.
George Bliss arraigned, ready, ATM break-ins and attempted break-ins. That's a half a page. A half a. And so the DA and his team are out there. They're doing everything they can. They're really doing all they can. And I can tell you that the progress that's been made, and here's how I judge it. And you're gonna realize now that I'm more warped than most of you think I am. Sheriff Bowler's jail actually has inmates in it now, and people and more coming. I don't have the heart to tell them. Don't close the door. There's more coming, because the DA is prosecuting and the judges are sentencing. And I can't be prouder to say that I'm a person who lives in Berkshire County and Pittsfield specifically, because I see what's happening on the ground.
Yeah, it's probably about a 30% increase in the population at the jail. I think that's pretty significant.
Yeah.
And again, these people that are coming in, these are people coming in from the Bronx, coming in from Albany area and from Holyoke, Springfield area. And one of them recently was from the Lowell area. And actually, we actually, the first time ever, we actually went down and actually, in the course of an investigation where we were picking up 15 people, we went to a drug house in Springfield and caught the individuals. That's where the source was coming from, caught them in the kilo. Which is a case that was our case that was we hit the house in Springfield. Then we hit one in Lowell as well.
Yes.
We knew the drugs were coming from Lowell, and that was the source of it. So we hit the sources. And so rumor gets around pretty quickly that you don't want to go to the mountains
Yeah.
because they can pick you up one at a time. And we go back and we root out the source. So we follow it through. Where did it come from? And then we prosecute them. So it is very important. These are not addicts. These are not people that are wayward or any which way. These are business people trying to make money off of our marginalized communities, trying to make money off of addicts, trying to make money off our people, and coming in here and poisoning our young adults who are in their 20, early 20s or mid 20s, and trying to come in there and cause overdose and bring in these drugs. I'm not tolerating that. So we prosecute these individuals. The individuals that are being held all had serious amounts of drugs. all have serious amounts of weapons. And there's a very dangerous jail right now because these were individuals that were known gang members, people that were causing big problems in Springfield, trying to decide to, we're going to go to the Berkshires. Well, we isolate them right off the bat, and we're going to keep these borders safe and set. So you want to come into the Berkshires, we're going to prosecute you, and we're going to hold you accountable. And if we have to chase you down to your source, whether it be Springfield or Lowell or wherever it might be, in the state of Massachusetts, we'll be part of it. So, I'm very proud of my men and women that have been doing that for my office, and certainly from the Pittsfield Police Department and North Adams Police Department, Great Barrington Police Department, all these individuals and these task force that are all together, Dalton and Lennox and Lee, all doing one bang up job of really identifying, working with us, and I just see the respect and the change in law enforcement, what people see with professionalism. If I find that there are people that aren't doing their job correctly, we take care of that internally. So I think we have a great law enforcement community right now. I think we have built a tremendous district attorney's office with very, very qualified, high
Well,
qualified lawyers,
that's what
especially
I
in the
wanted to
Superior
say. Your
Court.
lawyers,
Yeah,
some of
very
these
good.
convictions, I know enough, being around for a long time. Some of these convictions, ladies and gentlemen, were difficult cases. And it takes top-notch lawyers, prosecutors with experience and knowledge. Your first assistant, I think the world of her. I've interviewed her
Yeah,
and
she just had a big win with that Burke trial. She's got a murder trial starting up next week, so she's got another one that she'll be doing. And Rachel Aramo, she just won a rape case. She won two huge murder trials last year. One of them was first degree murder on Tyler Sumner on a very, very, very difficult case that most people didn't think we would win, and we got a first degree conviction on that. And then she followed it up with the Cook case in September and got a conviction on that case as well, on a domestic assault case, a second degree murder conviction, and of course first assistant Shelby getting the first degree conviction of Lance Burke solely on Google evidence. Following him from New York City to here on a professional hit and killed an individual. So these are great lawyers. Michael McHale, who just joined our office from he was in private practice in Amherst, but he was a former prosecutor and for 14 years in Superior Court in Camden County and Hampshire County. He just won his rape case last week, and that was the second rape trial we had tried in the month of May. Like I said, we have a child abuse trial that Andrew Girolo is trying right now on the rape of a 3-year-old. So we've got those going on, and like I said, I'm very, very proud of my lawyers. We take the tough cases to trial, and when we win these tough trials, we're very proud. The entire office
Don't plead them.
is all part of it. The tough cases, but we also know we're going to lose some because they are tough cases.
But I
I'm not
think people need to
trying to.
understand that. The other thing I will say about the DA, and I hope I don't offend you, is that he doesn't plead them. Yes, they're tough. He'll get in the arena and he'll slug it out, and he'll do it with really qualified prosecutors. And if they don't prevail, they don't prevail. But they hauled them in. They didn't sit and whittle out a deal. Through my career, I used to get so incensed, well, it's like a 30-year sentence, and they whittle it down a 4.5.
Yeah, we don't do that.
No, you don't.
We try to, there are guidelines that we have to follow with the state when it comes to sentencing. So we try to stay within those guidelines. And so there's check and balance with everything. But we're holding what I think. And we have meetings about what's the real sentence to be on this particular case. So there are times that we do reduce it down to upon someone's activities, what they've done to rehabilitate themselves, or any
That's a
mitigating
different
factors
ball
versus
game.
aggravating factors. Yeah. So we take that into consideration. I said when I ran, and I've been doing it since I've been in office, every case is like every individual person. Everybody has their own DNA. Every case has its own DNA. They're all different. I don't do policies. I look at the facts of a case. I look at their background. I look at their history. I look at what type of criminal record they have. And then we make a recommendation. And all recommendations come through our meetings with our superior courts and in district court. I try to do as best we can, but there's so many of them down there. But we meet all the time about what we should be getting, and we're consistent with our recommendations so that it's fair. It's equal justice, and we don't do anything different. Like both those rape cases, we asked for 8 to 10 on each of those particular cases. Judges gave different sentences, but what we asked consistently, what we thought was appropriate, because both those facts to me were similar. So, that's the reason why we do these things this way. But again, I can't stress enough that we are making this county safe. This office needed a big upgrade, has gotten a big upgrade internally.
Yeah.
Procedures, manuals, all this stuff has been all done. We're doing file retention controls now.
Oh,
There's
cool.
just so much that's going on this stuff. It's run like a business, and as a result of being run like a business, it is much more professional, and it is. I'm very proud of the staff that's in this office and how they hold themselves within the community.
And I will say this, then we got to take a break. I don't know a lot of the staff, but I can tell you, I see I again, because I'm kind of a geek with this stuff, I like to follow it, and because I like the district attorney too, we're making progress. Are we going to solve the criminal justice problem in Berkshire County? Probably not, because it's an evolving problem. You know, who 5 years ago, if you'd have said fentanyl, I'll give you a dollar for everybody in Pittsfield that knew what fentanyl was, except the medical people. We'll be right back. I'm here. Please stay tuned. I'm here with, excuse me, District Attorney Tim Shugrue, a guy who really is in the community. And when he gets up at the plate, he swings the bat. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Want more confidence using technology? PCTV offers free classes to help you navigate the internet, protect your privacy, and use your devices with ease. Whether you're a beginner or need a refresher, we've got you covered. Sign up today. Call 413-445-4234 or visit pittsfieldtv.org. Empower yourself with digital skills because everyone deserves to stay connected. Brought to you by PCTV and the Alliance for Digital Equity, keeping communities connected.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. I'm here, the good-looking guy there. That's the district attorney of Berkshire County. His name is Richard Neal. We were just talking about Congressman Neal. His name is Timothy Shugrue. Boy, I'll tell you, don't get old, because and if you find my brain, bring it, drop it off at the house. We are talking about all the activity that's happening in Berkshire County. It's all positive because the district attorney, his office, his cops, parole, the judges, and we're taking the bad guys and bad gals off the street. So you and I want you to just, if you would, take a minute and do an overview of the organized crime, organized theft.
Oh yeah, that's been good. In fact, we just picked up an individual. You might remember maybe about a month ago, and I know you stay up on the local news and everything, but we had an individual going around with $100 bills, you know, and a poor woman that she below our office, she runs this nice florist shop. It's beautiful. And it's, you know, plants and whatnot. And she got hit, it was $100, but she said, you know, a small business like me, $100 is a lot. It was a counterfeit bill. And these counterfeit bills look pretty realistic. This individual, Raekwon Hicks is his name. He was convicted before in Connecticut of counterfeiting bills. We caught him with 18 bills in Berkshire County, $100 bills, which is a life felony. And we're charging him as such. And he presented them in over on Costanzo's on Anoda Street and a market in Adams and a location in North Adams. and which he's been charged with all those particular charges. We picked him up, we put him on bail, he posted some bail, he took off. Well, we picked him up again. So he's being extradited back to the Berkshires, and he's in Connecticut right now, incarcerated. Well, we're going to have him back here because I'm not tolerating the thefts. This was, he had caught on him were 18 $100 fake bills of counterfeit bills. And he had been, as you know, was a big part of it, was in the Eagle, I believe, and there were people being suffering from that. He was going throughout the county and all of Western Mass. I know that he hit three or four places in Springfield area and Holyoke and Agawam, but that's not my jurisdiction. So we've charged him up here. We're indicting him on that in the Superior Court, and we'll be holding his feet to the fire because it's a very serious life felony by counterfeiting bills and then presenting them. It hurts these little businesses. It hurt this. I felt bad for this woman downstairs who was running this great plant shop. And $100 is a lot for a small business just
Yes,
opening
it is.
up. Now, they buy something for like $1 or $5 and they get changed back from it, and boom, the bill's no good. So we've caught him. We've got him. He took off. We got him again. I put a warrant out for him in the New England area and down to New Jersey. We found him. I knew he was from New Jersey. And he was picked up, and now we're going to be extraditing him back. So I don't tolerate any of the thefts. The amount of thefts that we saw in 22, it was just astronomical. And we have really dramatically reduced the amount of thefts that are going down there. We run opioid summits we run opioid summit in the fall, which is correlated with the organized retail crime. Then we had an organized retail crime conference up at BCC,
Yes.
which we had 200 people in there. All business people, all people running stores and Kohl's and CVS,
Isn't that cool?
TJ Maxx, Marshalls, all those big businesses were all there, and we're teaching them on the latest scams and what's happening. It was a great event. It was run so well with cooperation from Pittsfield Cooperative Bank and with Great Life Federal Credit Union. And all of us got together, and we had a great seven national speakers that talked about the frauds that we are seeing, particularly on the East Coast. That was very important. And we meet monthly with the Pittsfield Police Department and some stores, and we meet quarterly at the BIC Center, Berkshire Innovation Center, which is a great facility way that we use all the time. We run meetings so that we can go over what are the fraud scams. So on top of that, James Hall, who's in charge of the organized retail crime in our office, he's not a lawyer, but he's the coordinator and the organizer for that. He finds the stuff, gets the police, and refers them to the particular DAs. On top of that, we have now expanded with the sheriff's office and one of their staff, and with my community outreach, and we've reached every community centers for elder fraud from Sheffield down to up to Clarksburg, and we've reached every place. So we had last week, we had an elder fraud conference again for people. It wasn't as well attended as I wanted it to be, because I think what happened is we hit so many of the elder places. We went to all their locations. It was easier. But we had the FBI in here, we had the IRS in here, and we had the U.S. Attorney's Office in conjunction with the Berkshire District Attorney's Office, teaching the community on the dangers of the frauds that we're seeing out there, teaching them about what's happening in the community, what they can do to prevent these grandmother schemes that happen all the time, talking about the scams that come at home, the IRS scams and all the. So, and of course, we also talked about skimmers that gets put on bank devices, and we talk about, as you mentioned, one of the cases we just arrested somebody on was breaking into ATMs. We were able to catch that individual breaking in three different ATMs in the county, and arresting that individual, who's now held in jail. So we are doing a lot of work on the organized retail crime. I think we've seen a big reduction in it. We see these groups that come through. We usually know they're coming through by looking at Albany and Springfield first. They have a tendency to hit one of those locations, and then they'll get to the Berkshires. But we are very well organized. We share all our videotapes with each of the particular stores now. We keep a database in this office with Mr. Hall. And as a result of that, we're able to identify and catch these individuals. In the past, it was very difficult getting identifications. Pittsfield Police uses Facebook now. They put it out there, and we get a lot of information that will people say, "I know that individual," and we're able to follow through with the investigation. So it's a community effort, but we're doing a great job, and we're seeing the thefts go way down, which bottom line comes down and affects us because it reduces the amount of prices that you pay for your goods if we reduce the amount of thefts.
Well, and again, it's the I don't mean to repeat myself, but when you get to be 78, you can repeat yourself. But it's the teamwork. It's the mutual respect. It's the, you know, when your folks walk into court, defense attorneys, judges understand they're coming in prepared and they're coming in to try a case.
We make sure that is so true. I don't care about what the results are in the end because it's the justice system and people have a right to a trial.
Right.
And our job is to present a very professional, qualified court. I say what I care about the most in any prosecution, and now becoming more of a coach than a player, I feel being in there, and I go into court a lot. I want to see a good product put in that courtroom. If I see a good product put in that courtroom, and the jury may do whatever they may do, that's in the hands of God and the hands of justice system.
That's right.
I'm making sure that the Berkshire County's District Attorney's Office has a tremendous five-star quality presentation in the courtroom with these lawyers, and they are tremendous. And I send them trainings throughout the country. I send them to homicide trainings. I send them to the younger ones. I send them to boot camps. And they get trained nationally and within the state. I spent a lot of money on training this, and we have developed in 30 months what I consider a top-notch prosecution office, one of the best law offices in the county right now. A lot of these people end up as judges someday. A lot of these people end up in even further roles in their lives because we have built such a solid office. These are highly qualified individuals, most of them with 20 years experience in trying very serious cases. And now being almost full staff, I don't have to run them to death because my first year with not having much money in my budget, unfortunately, I was having to run these lawyers to really, really hard and to get the backlog from COVID. So they were the year rather than every other month on criminal trials. But now we have more individuals coming on. We've got more people joining our staff. Our Superior Court is going to be fully staffed, and we're in great shape. And again, high quality people we're bringing in from other counties, and that are really great job.
Yeah, and showing. I mean, you're getting the convictions.
We are. Yeah, we are.
You know, we talk about this a lot. The DA and I. One of the things that I like about him and his office and his philosophy is if you're a low-level criminal charge, drug addict, he would rather get you treatment than punishment. And he's, for some people who don't know this, and believe it or not, Mr. DA, there are people. He was a defense attorney. He's been on both sides of the bar. I think he's sensitive. And I don't mean that in a sissified way, but he's sensitive to the human experience that some people have. He started Kids Place many years ago with his own money, his own thoughts. And for those people, and I know some of you are still out there who just think he's a hanging judge. No, I would say he's a true purveyor of justice.
We ran on justice for all, you know, and that's what I said. I want to make sure that it's just. And that's why, again, we talked about it earlier. I'll say it again. I look at every case individually, like its own DNA. Every person is different. Everybody's had big, different backgrounds, different ways they've grown up, different family connections. I look at all that. So if I see someone that may be in the throes of addiction, that maybe had a low-level drug sale to support their habit, and I know that they've got good support mechanisms in the community, whether it's family, whether it's friends, or somebody that can help them navigate getting out of the drug addiction situation. And even if they don't, if I get them into the good programs and help them and assist them by getting into the programs that are free and help them get off drugs, we want to do that because I want to stop the cycle. I want to end the recidivism by just prosecuting them in a low-level deal like that. So in a year, he's back out and doing the same thing, or she's back out doing the same thing. When I do it this way, if I can get them off the narcotics, get them off drugs, get them back to work, give him some self-worth and some availability. People have deserve second chances in life. In private practice, I saw so many people with their families, their mothers and fathers, and or their friends that would come in and just say, "This person's a good person. They need help. They made a mistake." People make mistakes. It's human frailty. I get that, and we're going to treat those that way. But when I deal with somebody else that's coming in here that's greedy and said multiple chances in the past, that keeps trying to sell drugs for the greed and the money. Then I'm not going to tolerate that because it's poisoning our community. And it's hard to get people off drugs. They give the drugs away free at first sometimes. And the idea is get people hooked on them. And then they increase it with fentanyl. And then they add tranq now, which extends the high. But it is not, you can't use Narcan on it. There's just so many dangerous things out there. But if I can deal in the district court, the people's court, if I can deal with the rehabilitation in those courts and we're able to do that, because I know there's. I've had a million success stories with my clients when I was in
Yes,
private
you have.
practice to get them off drugs, to get them back to work and productive in the community. And I see them in the community now and they thank me. And I
That's
saw an
great.
individual when I was running up in I had helped him out when he had been in a drug case before. He was a person of color. And he ended up going to, we got him into BCC, he went to culinary program. And when I saw him, he was a chef at Williams Inn, in Williamstown.
That's
That's what he changed his life around. And I saw him up at a function in North Adams, the street day. And he just wanted to say, "You probably don't remember me, but I haven't forgotten about you because you helped me get off drugs." I want to do that within this office as well and help people get through the addiction to make sure that we smash the stigma, give people a second chance, add a chance to get off there, as long as they do what's necessary to do it. But if you're not going to do that, then I got to hold your feet to the fire, and I've got to prosecute the cases so that doesn't happen again, because there are too many third parties, individuals in the community that get affected by this. There's nothing worse than seeing overdose deaths. There's nothing worse than seeing families losing their kids when they could have spent a little bit of time in the house correction, just getting dry, getting cleaned out. And we talked to parents afterwards that if they'd rather have that than have them in a pine box going on 60 under, so it's they're we take human frailty into consideration. We take human error into consideration. That happens when we treat people that way. So you may see we may have more null process than it might normally would. That's because if someone deserved a chance or something happened along the way, we will give them that opportunity, because I believe in people having second chances. But don't take that for weakness, because we as you can see, we put people in jail that don't do that. You got to do it both ways. You've got to carry that big stick, but you also have to make sure that you understand human frailty and what happens around. And so we have to do that. And we can, if I get people off drugs, I'd rather do that than put someone in jail 10 times over, because that ends that cycle. And that gives that family their child back. And it happens. There are huge success rates. I just want people to know that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If we've got someone that's on addiction, help them get through that. Get them through, get them clean first. Then go to the underlying root. What caused you to get into an addictive behavior? You get some sort of, and we use the brain center for this whole, you get the underlying issue. What was the trauma? What was the post-traumatic stress that existed in your life? What caused you? What led you to this depression? What led you to this need to want these drugs? We deal with that issue after we've dealt with getting the person off the narcotics, and then we build the self-esteem back up by helping them get their licenses back, help them get their jobs back, help them be a member of community, and help them get their own apartments and their own housing. And once they do that, they're productive again, and the whole
Absolutely.
economy wins. Everybody wins, and we can
Yeah,
feel
and
safe.
God rest his soul, Carmen Massimiano used to say, pay me now, pay me later. If you can do this, if you can get someone rehabilitated, and I know several people, and you do too. I mean,
Oh yeah, hundreds.
several, and it does work. And
It does work.
then they become counselors.
They do. You see, actually, most of them, that's their second job, and they end up becoming mentors and counselors and other facilities. It's because they live through it, and then they help someone through the addiction process. But I gotta give a shout out to the sheriff as well for what they
What a
do.
program he's got.
The program he's got. First off, they medicate them in the house of correction, so no one's going to get sick, and then they get them off the drugs cleanly, safely. And then his exit program is tremendous. We need judges to give us 48 hours to make sure before someone gets exited from a house of correction, even if it's just a release on bail, is to get them services available to them before they get out on the street, so they're not going back to the trap house, they're not going back to doing narcotics right away. Get them out of there to a safe place. That Second Chances program, now run by Lindsay Cornwell, is tremendous. Is really I can't stress how important it is to our community to get these people back, who then don't break the law anymore and get right back to the community and are giving back and are working and are off narcotics. So and we can't do it without being partnerships. And we collaborate right with everybody. We collaborate with all the people working in harm reduction, all the people that are working trying to get people off narcotics. We certainly work very, very closely with Kyla Shadler and the Criminal Justice Reform Center over on Fenn Street.
Yeah.
Those people do yeoman's work every day of getting people one soul at a time clean and off drugs and back to work. And it's happening. And we need to continue to do that. And if people don't want to do that, then unfortunately, I have to hold their feet to the fire in order to help them help themselves. But that's what we have to do.
And I think the issue of it and what you're is a delicate balance.
It is.
But at least it's a balance. It's not all one, oh, that poor soul, they didn't mean to get on drugs. That's not helping them.
Right.
That's not helping them.
No, I leave this on my desk for a reason, and I'll show you why. You see what this is?
Yeah, Lady Justice.
That's the scales of justice.
Yeah.
Because what that means is that we're balancing. We're balancing.
And
here it is, rehabilitation or incarceration, what we need to do. That's on my desk for a reason, because there are two prongs to it. There is, taking the human frailty and the human errors, helping people through that process, and then we're dealing with hardened criminals, that either the murders, the rapists, the people, that the child molesters that we can't stop. They just don't stop.
No.
So you gotta incarcerate them. We tried rehabilitation, a lot of them. That's almost impossible for someone that's in their 50s or 60s that is molesting children. So those are the type of cases that we have to hold them accountable for and hold their feet to the fire. But at the same time, too, if people are in a depressed state, they're involved with narcotics and they need help, we're there to give them help. That's what our whole justice system is about. And we're losing sight of that in sort of the national scope of everything that's going on, the lack of civility and the hatred that we're seeing spewing in the political arenas now is just, it's disheartening. But we're not going to happen in Berkshire County. Yeah. We've got to keep going, leading by positivity, leading by a good vision, by leading by the fact that we control this community, we control this county. It is the bucolic Rockwell Berkshires, as it always has been. We're going to keep it that way. We're not going to let that criminal element come in. Because I can tell you, when I was in Springfield, 1986 prosecuting cases, it was a great city to live in.
Oh, yeah.
Not so much anymore. It is. I don't want to say anything bad against the city, but boy, the crime rate down there is astronomical. There were 35 murders a year. That was just unheard of. We're not going to let that happen in Berkshire County. We're not going to tolerate. We'll keep those elements out. We're going to work our darndest to make sure that we're keeping them out. Same time, too, we're going to deal with the issues that younger people and some people that are their first time into the criminal justice system. I always tell them, look around yourselves. Do you ever picture yourself being here? They always say no. So we don't want to be here ever again. So let's get that. And I'm also taking, I've talked to Chief Justice Fortas from the trial court in Boston. I'm trying to establish a mental health court, and we're already doing stuff for veterans court, trying to keep them isolated. So we're already doing a drug court. We're also talking about doing an emerging adult court for people between 18 and 25. So we are looking for rehabilitative programs with that as well. But again, I don't want to send a message that means we're going to be soft on crime, because we're not. As you know, if you're going to come in and break the law and you're not willing to take the consequences, because everybody's going to have consequences.
Right.
Accountability is the word. We're all accountable. We got up this morning. We went to work. But if you're going to break the law, you're going to be held accountable, too. It's just a question, what's the level of accountability? And if you're willing to get off drugs and become a productive member of society, we'll take that into consideration. If you're going to come in here and just try to sell drugs, you're going to bring guns in here illegally, then we're going to hold you feet to the fire and you're going to go to prison. And so that's what we're doing. We're sending the message loud and clear. Making sure, if you're from Springfield, Albany, New York City, Holyoke, you got to know that you go to the Berkshires. This is not tolerated here. And we've got the resources and we've got the availability. We certainly got the means and the drive to do it. We will make sure that you're not going to bring drugs into our county.
You know, you made a comment that brought back something that's 50 years old in my mind. I can remember stuff like that. I can't remember where I parked the car. I can remember this well-dressed, I was a young cop there on a speeding ticket, I think, or something. And this, I mean, well-dressed young man came in with one of our very affluent, who's since passed, lawyers, and a child molestation charge. I was sitting there. I couldn't, I got to tell you, Tim, I was, what? This guy looked like a banker, you know? And so
that
I don't know. Anyhow, the lawyer, And he said, the lawyer said, Your Honor, this is the first offense. And Judge Simony, you remember Simony?
Oh, yeah, sure.
I don't know. If you did that today, your judgeship might not be in, your judgeship would be in jeopardy. But he said, excuse me, counselor. This is the first time he's been caught. And I'll never, and then you've reinforced it. And through my career, you're exactly right. Child molesters are very, I don't, the success rate of rehabilitation is not high.
It's not high. We try, but it's not high. And yep. So here's those times. Most people, you see them two or three times in the course of the criminal justice career, and that's just unfortunate. So I don't tolerate. I ask for high sentences on them. Unfortunately, we don't always get them as high as I want them. But as you know, the child abuse has been one of the biggest things that I've been involved in my entire life. I prosecuted child abuse cases from 1986 on, you know, and even in private practice, I finished and got the kids' place up and running. So because our children need adults. Children are our future, you know, as I say it all the time, and they really are what we can expect coming down the road. And if they become abused, we need to give them the help that they need. And so the fact that anybody could attack children is just intolerable to me. And I have a very low level of sympathy for people that hurt children and physically hurt children and sexually hurt children. So because they are so vulnerable. And you know, kids. So it's, kids don't. You know, they're learning. They don't mean. They don't need to be hurt, and they don't. And it molds their lives because what happens after that? Once you put them in a traumatic situation, that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives. So I don't have any tolerance for that.
You know, is before we close, I really think what you, and again, I know, but for the public, for the people out there, you know, and if you don't believe me. Just ask the Patriots. A team is only as good as this quarterback. All right. And yes, I like the guy. And yes, I like what he's doing. But he's also the quarterback. He's bringing these people into the fold that were pushed out, not just by the last person, but others. I mean, I was fortunate when I was young that I worked with Roberto, not Jimmy, Tony.
Yeah,
Tony
Anthony.
Roberto,
yeah.
And his, boy, I'll tell you, mine is a terrible thing to lose. But when you went to him with a case, he wasn't afraid to pick it up and prosecute it.
Yeah, he was an excellent DA.
Yeah,
he was our first DA in the Berkshires.
Yes.
And he became a judge and always was very respectful to me. I think the world of him. And I think that we've tried to mold that office. That office came out with tremendous people. Dan Ford became a Superior Court judge.
Yep.
Judge Acini became a Superior Court judge. You had Phil
Randy
Heller.
Spina.
Fran Spina to the Supreme Court in Massachusetts. There was just so many. Lee Flournoy, he had a top-notch office. And that's the mold that we are developing
and
here.
Great troopers.
And great troopers. And I should
great
say that to say about ours, I am so proud of our Detective Bureau. We used to call it CPAC, Crime Prevention and Control. We now call it the Berkshire District Attorney's, the Detective Unit. So those guys, those men and women are first rate, tremendous. And we are lucky that we have such a solid, good state troopers assigned to this office who works closely with every single police department in the county, particularly North Adams and Pittsfield, but every county, everybody. We have a task force that we run out of there. We can't do this with just the lawyers. Our state troopers are tremendous.
Right.
The local law enforcement community is tremendous. It's top-notch. If you're in any other city and you saw what the police departments were compared to like the Berkshires, it is dramatically different. These are solid, qualified people. And if they're not, then we self-patrol. So it is very well run, and I think that we should be all proud of our men and women in blue. And I'm certainly proud of my troopers that are assigned to this office, and to every law enforcement authority in the county. I can't do this without them.
Nope.
They're in this. I am just we're sort of the tip of the spear, but they're the ones doing all that hard, difficult work, bringing us the evidence, bringing us the cases. And in the beginning, we had so much training. What we wanted, what we needed for our prosecutions, compared to what people wanted in the past, because our level is a little higher, a little bit more, a lot
Professional.
more expected. Let's put it that way. And they recepted us very well, and they worked with us to give us those type of things. And they are producing tremendous cases for us to prosecute. So I thank them. I thank Chief Dolly. I really
Great
have
man, good
outmarked
guy.
respect for him, Mark Bailey and Paul Stewart and Great Barrington, Mark Bailey and North Adams, the sheriff, all these individuals. We work together and we talk all the time. So when you collaborate with all these other agencies, for every police department, the sheriff's office, the chiefs, and I go to the chiefs meetings as well. So when you have all these people working together, and these people are not working 40-hour weeks. They are not coming near 40-hour weeks. People are working 60, 70 hours a week, and they're not getting paid for it, because a lot of this, we're all salaried. So, but we do this job because we love our community, we love the Berkshires, and we want to make sure we keep it the beautiful community that we have. We want to make sure we're keeping it safe for people to come in here, our tourists that come in here from New York City, our second homeowners, and also for our very well citizens that live here. And now we have a big immigrant population that unfortunately is being affected by some of the ICE things that are in here. But we do have a lot of people that are legally documented that are here, that are building a great community, a lot of great Latino restaurants, Central American restaurants. I'm proud of that community as well. And we're trying to make sure that they know they're safe in this community. And they are not illegal. These are not illegal people. But there is a big immigrant community in here that is very hardworking and very dedicated, and also producing a lot of income and spending a lot of money in our county. So we have to accept them.
Thank you. I always enjoy our talks, and I would like to end with this, speaking of great state troopers. We lost Frank Duke. Frank Duke was a state trooper when I was a young cop. He was a wonderful man. He was dedicated to his cause, but he wasn't above or below anybody. Frank, it was a pleasure knowing you. It was a pleasure working with you. May you rest in peace. Amen. God bless.
God bless.
And God, remember, folks, remember this, please. No, I have no place in my heart, no place in my head for hatred. So if you're going to text me, don't text me hatred, because I just block you. I will say this, God bless. Let's take care of each other today. Make a pledge. You're going to lift somebody's spirits. You're going to make them laugh. You're going to make them happy. You'll be better off for it, and so will the whole world. Mr. DA, I don't care what they say. Keep up the good work, and I will be. I'm just so happy you come on this show, because I want to get the word out what's happening, and the prevention piece.
Yes, it's very important. And I'll see you out in the community soon, I'm sure.
I'm probably within 2 hours.
Yes. Take care,
Take
Bill.
care. Thank you very much for coming on. And thanks
Thank
for
you,
that
Bill.
other information, too,
Thank
from the
you.
bride. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You too.